Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Thank you, Lori. For those on radio, this is Lori Carrier at our organ, and we're glad I can say at our organ. Beautiful Lenten prelude for us this day. For those at home who haven't been inside Our Savior in the last week, we went through a major organ renovation. Took 4 days. And then even Friday, Doug Cole and I came back in with the owner to tweak the last piece and get that done for a couple hours on Friday afternoon. So it is in good shape for 130 years old. So when you're 130, come and visit us, see if you're doing as well. We'll put you up against the organ and see how your frame is doing. It is good. And so at least it's repairable. That's the good thing. Still ticking. And Wednesday, for those of us who worshiped here, we had 12 at the 1 o'clock service. We had 5 plus Lori and I at the 7 p.m. service. Okay, pause and think about that. We met downstairs by piano. We can worship anywhere. We can go to caves, we can go to homes, we can go in basements until the organ's repaired, and then we're getting back here. And we did. We sure did. But it's better with an organ. Right, Lori? Better than that piano. She's shaking her head. So we're glad you're here worshiping. This is service of the word. And we're into the season of Lent for those on radio, tracking our Savior as a Lutheran church, liturgical church. We follow the Christian calendar, not just the secular calendar. We do the Christian calendar as well. We overlay them. So, and for those of you in attendance, this is the second week, I think. This whole side is empty. Pulpit side. Yeah, you are left-sided. But I'm in my right brain. And so we have gathered as God's people. Those listening on the radio, hey, you people in Florida, you sit on the right side, we miss you. We are on radio right now, WPHM. We are 1380 AM. We are also on simulcast. If you don't have AM radios, you can get us directly on your cell phone, internet, or through your pad or computer, WPHM.net. And pull down the screen on the home page for podcasts, and you will listen to us live. Not analog on a radio signal, but digital, just like it's being recorded for the podcast. It's a sharper sound. There is a difference. So the digital is a good quality. And you'll find us there. And when the organist was here, as well as the owner, I made sure to point out that we're on a podcast. So if they want to hear what the organ sounds like today, they can play us back on podcast and hear the quality of their work. So hopefully they might do that. So we gather here this day, and we gather in Christ's name. On our journey of Lent, on our way to the cross, and then eventually to the empty grave, remind those in the radio audience that we gather our Savior for 26 of my 27 years at Lakeside Cemetery, the chapel. Most people in Port Huron don't know it really has two chapels in there. So they can do two funerals at the same time. But if we ever, ever got a spillover crowd, we'll open up the doors and we'll have both sides available to us. So we invite anybody in Port Huron, as when I do funerals at Lakeside, to tell them, come back here. You can set your clock, 7:30 Easter sunrise morning. We'll be here proclaiming the resurrection, the life of Christ in the midst of death that surrounds this life. So please join us, those on the radio. Our worship begins with confession of sin. I invite you to please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the eternal voice from heaven, the anointed and the beloved one of the Spirit, moving over the waters. As we approach the mystery of God, come in confession, trusting the love of Christ, crucified and risen. God, who searches us and knows us, you have shown us what is good. Let you have two other lights to find our way. We have not just in our dealings with others. We have chosen revenge over mercy. We have promoted ourselves instead of walking humbly with you. With what shall we come before you? Forgive us our sin. Show us your salvation. In the face of Jesus Christ, our Savior, amen. Beloved of God, you have not received the spirit of this world, but rather the spirit that comes from God, poured out for you in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. So receive the promise of your baptism. You are God's child. Your sins are forgiven. Rejoice and be glad, for yours is the reign of heaven. Amen. Entrance in for this Lenten season, lift high the cross.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hymn of Praise, verses 1, 2, and 5. 1, 2, and 5. God so loved the world. 1, 2, 5. Our leader and guide, in the waters of baptism, you bring us to new birth, to live as your children. Strengthen our faith in your promises, that by your Spirit we may lift up your life to all the world through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We have the reading of God's Word this day. And we have Judy Quater first reading.
Good morning.
Good morning.
God's call of Abram and Sarai has a clear purpose, that through them all the families of the earth would gain a blessing. As they set out on their journey, they are accompanied by promises of land, nation, and a great reputation. First reading comes from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4a. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Second reading. Katie, do you want to do it?
Well, yes.
You're related to her. Thank you.
Second reading is from Romans chapter 4. In the person and example of Abraham, we discover that a right relationship with God does not involve earning a reward from God, but entails trusting God's promises. Abraham is the forebearer and model for both Jews and Gentiles, because we too trust that ours is a God who gives life to the dead. What are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Let me explain myself to you. Realizing that Katie wasn't here, and I didn't want you to do pop-up. Now we'll do the psalm. I didn't forget it. I just didn't want to have to walk back and forth. Okay. Psalm 121. The refrain is what we call the antiphon, A-N-T-I-P-H-O-N. I lift up my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the Lord, and it's built into the text. This psalm is a beautiful one, and if you like the mountains like I do, the Smokies, the Rocky Mountains, all those little, growing up in the Appalachian area of Pittsburgh, the mountains have a drawing card, something about them. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord will not let your foot be moved, nor let the one who watches over you will not fall asleep. Behold, the keeper of Israel was neither slumber nor sleep. I lift up my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the Lord. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will preserve you from all evil, and he will keep your life. The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in, from this time forth, forevermore. I lift up my eyes to the hills. My hope comes from the Lord. Word of God, word of faith, word of life. If you'll please stand for the gospel. It's acclamation. I turn off my microphone to go to pulpit mic. Together we speak. The Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Familiar verses, when I ask confirmants, name a verse they would like to have for their confirmation, 80% of the time it's John 3:16. I think that's a cop-out, but it's called the gospel in miniature. And so it is. So the gospel reading, John 3, verses 1 to 17. Glory to you, Lord. Now there was a Pharisee, this man's name was Nicodemus. He was a leader among the Jews on the Sanhedrin. He came to Jesus by night. He said to the Lord, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for nobody can do the signs, these miracles you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, very truly, I tell you, nobody can see this kingdom of God without having been born from above. Now Nicodemus, a scholar, said to Jesus, how can anyone be born from having grown up old? Can anyone enter a second time into his mother's womb and then be born? Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, one cannot enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished by what I say to you. You must be born from above. For the wind blows where it chooses. You hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going to be going. So it is with everybody who's born of the Holy Spirit. Now Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, you're a teacher for the people of God in Israel, and yet you don't even understand these simple things.
Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify by what we have seen, and yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I'm going to tell you about heavenly things? Nobody has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everybody who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send a Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, God's eternal grace and peace be with us this day and every day of our existence, because Christ died for us and Christ is our peace. Amen. You can follow the sermon outline. It's sketchy because I want you to walk through the scriptures, but it gives you some idea of what we're going to be doing. So if you want an overarching thing, for those who don't have a bulletin at home on the radio, just kind of let you know that we are covering all three lessons, just to kind of warn you again. And in the context of that, we approach subjects that each particular reading give to our attention for consideration. So here we go. First reading, Old Testament. Give you a little bit of Bible history for those who don't have Bible history. First reading of Lent last week was what? Quiz time. Do you remember 7 days ago what the Old Testament reading was?
Genesis.
Genesis? Oh, you're not going to do good on game shows. After this service, you will. It was the creation, then the fall. The condemnation, because of sin, death has come into this world. Paul picks it up in the second reading. Christ, one person, brought to us salvation and forgiveness. Okay? So, you have the fall. Genesis 2:3. Got to memorize these. Now I'm going to take you. What happened after Adam and Eve did their nasty? You know, a lot of people say, oh, it was Adam and Eve's fault. Why do we get judged? Hey, how about they had kids? Named in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, 5. What are the two kids? Cain and Abel. Good on that quiz question. Second thing, how many did they have after an encounter? One son. What happened? Cain killed a brother. Remember I told you last week, when the Hebrew people wrote the book of Genesis, put it together for us to learn? The word Genesis means beginnings. Okay. What is this account of Scripture, the truth of God, the Word of God, say about family systems? They're flawed. They have sinned too. If you have had children, you may have noticed that a few times. If you haven't had kids, you probably think kids are cute and cuddly. They're not. They're sinners like their parents. So the sin of Adam and Eve, which was disobedience, Cain was jealous, where it's implied through the text. The word jealousy isn't used unless somebody takes liberality with the Hebrew text and put it in an English understanding. But the scriptures are Hebrew, and it doesn't say jealousy or envy. Two offerings were given. One was a grainsman, the other one was a herdsman. You can't ignore that, what the Hebrew people are saying about what life is preferred, what lifestyle. That's part of the offering. So, the one gives an offering, Cain. But when Abel's offering came, it sounds like he's the younger brother. We can't prove it, but if birth order is implied here, he's second. So, God liked his offering better. God has favorites? Well, it's put in human terms. We don't know that God has favorites. Could be. But the bottom line is, two brothers, equal before their parents. One feels slighted by God because God accepted the brother sibling offering better. Didn't we both give of our good to God? Why is this? And why, Cain, did you ever ask yourself, why are you jealous? Why would you even take action on your jealousy? Can't you have a feeling without murder? You're not innocent here, Cain. This is where the human heart is wrong. We translate thoughts and feelings. We say in our confession as Lutheran and Catholic Christians, we sin in thought, word, and deed. We have this evil desire in our heart we thought about. And then it crosses the barrier of action. And he kills his brother. Now the standard always was, if you take a life for a life, right? That's what Moses will receive hundreds of years later. God would have been justified to kill Cain. Did God kill Cain? No. Surprise! Already in Genesis 4 and 5, God shows grace. How about for those people who say the Old Testament is just law only, no grace? Then you haven't read my Bible. God's grace is everywhere. You just got to see it. Don't be blinded. So Cain goes off to a city. This is where a lot of people have questions. What do you mean a city? I thought there was only Cain and Abel. Well, you interpret it your way. I know how I do it. He takes for himself a wife. Where'd she come from? That wasn't described in the birth order. You understand it your way. Bottom line is, it happened. He starts a life and a family. He has a new start. Away from mom and dad, obviously away from the Garden of Eden. So what happens? Well, thumb forward, Genesis 6. What happens in Genesis 6, from 4 to 6, starting with Cain and Abel, and then, that's the kids, but Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, then multitude of people in the city, okay? By chapter 6, do you remember what the scriptures say? God looked down from the heavens, and he said, I am not pleased with humanity. Oh, we grew in numbers. Oh, yes, we did. Stop the human race from having sex and procreation, and you'll channel up too much energy. It'll burst through. Yes, the population grew. Cities are bound. And God said, there's nobody who's living righteously except who? Who is the one in family? Noah, his wife, and his boys. How many children did he have? Quiz time, Bible. Three sons. They had wives that apparently were also righteous. So if there's a husband, wife, three sons, and three wives, how many were righteous? Well, good, you can do math in your brain. See, I'm gonna keep you awake during a sermon. Turn in your answer sheet after the service. So there's eight. God says, I'm destroying the earth. Wash it clean. If you've ever been down to Noah's Ark down in Kentucky, we have, several of you have. I'm not plugging anything. It's just a physical reminder, a symbol of what cleansed this earth one time. Why did it happen? Because sin was on the earth. If God was so ticked off with all humanity, why didn't he kill Noah and his family? Because God is gracious. God is merciful. Anytime you forget that, open up your Bible. You will read it. Okay? So they're preserved. Now, humanity is like God done many times with the chief ones, 6 to 9. Now we get to chapter 12, the reading of today. This is how I'm working you up. I'm connecting the dots. If you just take chapter 3 and chapter 12, you're going to miss how God's been doing and how God is extremely patient. Now we come across a man whose wife, nephew, and the herds people and the slaves, the servants, because of Abram's faith in one God. Most historians, even secular ones who are not faith-based, will acknowledge that Abraham is the father of monotheism. What's that mean? Mono, one, theos, God, one view of God. Up to this point in human history, approximately 2000 BC, everybody worshiped many, many hundreds, thousands of gods. Abraham had this special revelation, there is only one Lord your God, and him only shall you obey and worship. So Genesis 12, God says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. May you, all the nations of the world, be blessed. Your name is going to triumph around the world. Here we are 4,000 years later, we're still talking about Abraham. Oh, I guess God delivered. He said, you have many descendants. And so he did. I'm sure it's been thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people over the centuries of 4,000 years that have tried to exterminate the Jewish people. Hitler, Stalin, throughout Russian history and European history, every time they tried to kill him, they popped back up. God has been with them. And even when they didn't have a nation, they preserved until the day God raised up a nation for them in 1947. And even as a nation in the attack, if you ever watch proof of holy wars of the Old Testament, remember the Six-Day War, when all the Arab countries took arms against Israel in 67. They were woefully outnumbered, woefully unequipped, because this is the Arab attempt to destroy the Jewish people. 6 days, they whooped their butts. They took over the Sinai Peninsula. They quadrupled their land surface. And they beat them all back. Oh, accident? United States? No, thank you. Let's give credit where it belongs, God. These are the chosen, spoken to Abraham. So, you will have many descendants. Your name will prosper. And by you, the nations of the world will be blessed. And that includes the Christian family, and includes the Hebrew Jewish roots. A blessing to the world. We, the children of Abraham, do not exist for our own pleasure. It's the hardest thing to put into the heart and mind of church members, let alone church leaders. This church is not your church. This church is God's church. It is not just what we want, it is what is God pleasing. What does God want? And if they're in conflict, I'll choose the side of God, not people. And you may be a minority, but you stay the course. You understand, we have a purpose, we have a destiny, and our identity was being given to us by God, no less. And everybody thought Abraham was a fool. No more or less than what the world thinks about the Christian church today. We're foolish. Hey, we stand in good lineage, good line. So Abraham, God will bless you. God shows his grace and mercy to us. And then that example of Abraham is going to be picked up in the New Testament. That's further on, book of Hebrews, Romans, many passages. Faith is the means by which we are saved, not our deeds. Abraham did not do something. Therefore, God gave him a reward or a payment. Faith does it. Go to the second reading, page 7, Romans 4, 1 through 17, virtually. Strong passage here. Paul speaks. He makes the link, as I indicated, as one of many times that Abraham's name pops up 2,000 years later with the Christian faith experience. He goes on to explain how Abraham did not get right with God because he performed certain things that God wanted done. No. He had a unique vision that obviously came from God. It didn't come from humanity because they were worshiping many gods. He didn't do it by pure influence. He would be the father of pure influence to make people understand there's one God. Okay? He was the influencer. He was not being influenced. So, in the presence of God in whom he believed, God gives life to the dead. He calls into existence the very things that do not exist. Bottom of page 8. God, in God's faithfulness, has received Abraham and all of us. Or the real this is a Bible verse that always made confirmants memorized. The real descendants of Abraham are the people who have faith. That's New Testament. Memorize that. That's a good one. The gospel reading, John 3. When you do a whole book study of the Gospel of John, you see this. But if you just take it like we do week by week, you don't get the picture. So many times in the gospel formation of John, there are people who come up with dialogue that kind of show their ignorance. In Nicodemus' case, not stupidity, is ignorance. It becomes a teaching moment. In Greek, it's called didache. Jesus is being a teacher, the didache, the teaching. You have to be born from above. And Nicodemus is scratching his head. You know, I've studied Judaism my whole life. I never heard this teaching. You know, we teach the Torah, the law. We do it for performance. They get blessing for Israel, for us as well. No, born again? I don't remember that, Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus says, you got to be born from above. And then here comes the question. You mean I have to go back inside my mother and crawl inside that uterus? I'll never fit. Duh. Here's your sign. He's one of the front people for Jesus to teach what he means. You must be born of water and of the Spirit. Okay. Now, I've had to deal with Pentecostals over 50 years. I've had to deal with all kinds of denominations and non-denominations and atheists. Okay. Pentecostals say, I just need to be baptism of the Holy Spirit. Wrong. You didn't read your Bible. My Bible says, words of Jesus, and if you have a red letter edition, you know what I'm doing, I'm being sarcastic. It says, by water and Spirit. That should make you take notice. This is Jesus, your Lord, who says this. Water and Spirit. Each time in the Lutheran tradition, Roman tradition, other traditions, we baptize, not just with water. That's dedication. That's not our tradition. That's not the words of Jesus, red letter edition. It is water and Spirit. And therein we receive this mystery, this power, this sacrament that God gives to his church, to our lives. What's that? Well, we teach forgiveness of sin. So if you ever get asked this question by a non-believer, here's the response. Our sins are forgiven. Well, Baptists say another defeat. Well, you're a child, you're an infant, you didn't sin. Oh, let's go back to the beginning of last week's sermon. You tell a two-year-old and teach them how not to sin. Show me that. Ain't happening. Why? It's embedded. It's in the gut. From the birth. And like David says, Psalm 51, in my mother's womb, I was conceived in sin. It starts there. As soon as those two cells connect and start multiplying, oh, selfishness, self-centeredness, survival over everybody else. No matter what the inconvenience is, no matter what the desires are, we have to beat the old Adam down to teach kids manners, respect, property rights, respect of authority. We got to teach it because it's not in us. Okay? That's why we have laws and courts and all that system and law enforcement to help us, because we're not doing a good job at home. We have to acquire extra external force to do it for us. So, in the scheme of things, we are born sinners. We need this renewal, this regeneration. You don't need to be baptized with water and Spirit again. You should be renewed in the Holy Spirit throughout your life. You don't have to go back into the water, because the water was sufficient, and the work of grace is beginning in you. May come to you at your confirmation, affirmation of baptism, or your rite of confirmation. May come to you when you're 30 years old and you're just in a crisis moment and you cry out, God, save me. And God saved you. And you said, oh Lord, I will worship you. And I dedicate my life to you. Yeah. Holy Spirit's working. It got you back. Got you by the collar and yanked you in. Because that's the nature of the Holy Spirit. Now, use one analogy that's used in the parables of peanuts. The gospel according to peanuts. Robert Short does a neat book some 45, 50 years ago. I use it periodically with adult study. And he likens, I always like what he does, he likens Snoopy. If you like the Peanuts comic strip, Snoopy as the Hound of Heaven. He's the Jesus figure in Charles Schulz's cartoons. Just track it like he does in the book. And you begin to understand that, as he says, God is on your heels and my heels until we stop and recognize him. God doesn't wait for your call. God doesn't wait for my call. God's here. And when we wake up and smell the coffee, God's there to receive us. It's just as simple as that. You don't have to beg God. Just have to receive God. That's how God works. So in the account of things with Nicodemus, now the figure of Nicodemus is going to come up again at the end of John's Gospel. I hope you know this. It's in the Passion story after the crucifixion. Of course, Nicodemus is there, the jury who tries Jesus to say, crucify him. He was obviously overwhelmed by the other numbers, so he didn't get killed with Jesus as a believer. But when the crucifixion took place, Nicodemus went with another friend from the Sanhedrin, and he got the body of Jesus. He wasn't going to do it in public. He went to Pilate and said, you know, this itinerant preacher, this victim, this criminal to the Roman state, he at least deserves, by Hebrew tradition, Jewish tradition, a decent burial. Let us entomb his body. He stuck his neck out. He really did. It was not popular. It was not approved by the faith community. And he took the risk. Oh, God knows he did. And that certainly has to be understood. It was faith that brought him to, that God was working in some unique way in this Jesus. Oh, would Nicodemus and all who have been close to the fellowship of Jesus be surprised on 3 days later at the empty grave? He didn't bet on a losing horse. He chose the winning Messiah, the Lord, risen from the dead, crucified for our sins, made full atonement for all the bad and evil thoughts, words, and deeds we have done in a lifetime. No matter how long the lifetime was, God is good to the very end. This Lenten's journey, this lessons of today, God is consistent. And when your heart, your mind, you struggle with where is God, why isn't God doing something with all these crazy things the world and media hit us with, you just take a deep chill pill, as my wife would say. You believe in God. You wait upon the Lord. David said that 150 Psalms over 100 times. Wait on the Lord. You'll see. God is here, even now. May that God, we know, in the broken and crucified Lord and raised from the dead Savior Jesus, be with us. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. Because of the themes of today's lesson, certainly Lent, deal with lift high the cross, comes the next one, page 12. In the cross of Christ, I glory, we sing.
Worship continues with the affirmation of our faith. If you'll please rise. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. And on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our worship continues with our prayers as Marcia leads us.
Turning our hearts to God, who is gracious and merciful, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. God of rebirth, empower your church throughout the world to be a voice of hope for those who fear judgment or condemnation. Assure us of your faithfulness and give us confidence to proclaim your salvation for all. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of rebirth, your spirit hovered over the waters and you called creation into being. Nurture and bless all signs of rebirth around us, budding trees and new shoots, thawing lakes and warm breezes, and animals awaking from hibernation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of rebirth, lead the nations in your way of righteousness. Protect those who advocate for the needs of children, migrants, and victims of violence. Give courage to lawmakers, lawyers, judges, and law enforcement officers, guiding them to do justice and to love mercy. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of rebirth, give us a new vision of your healing power among us. Restore hope to those who remain in the depths of depression or despair. Bring mercy and relief to those who are injured, sick, or suffering. And we remember in our prayers, Jarrett Lucas, Donna Taylor, Mary DeWitt, Sue Higgins, all those who are quietly fighting their private battles with cancer. Lord, we ask that you would comfort the family of John and Elaine Pinnell with the passing of his sister, the family of Sherry Gino with her passing. We also remember those serving our nation, including Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Sawyer, and those returning from their service and back into our communities. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of rebirth, we thank you for the children of this community and for the people and ministries that care for them. Bless now and new and expectant parents. Console those who have lost children and those whose desire for children remains unfulfilled. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of rebirth, by wind and spirit you call us into life renewed. We give you thanks for all your saints who have inherited your promises. Bring us with them into your everlasting kingdom. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. According to your steadfast love, O God, hear these and all of our prayers as we commend them to you through Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. You'll please be seated. We receive our gifts which empower our ministry in Jesus' name. I'll also give you an update on some things going on for us. Do want to acknowledge that all three things we need sponsorship for have been spoken for by a non-member of this church who has supported us in many diverse ways. And so too, again, as last week, this week, for radio this day, for flowers this day, and for snow removal this day. And please understand, not that this individual wants to any acknowledgement, so I don't want to offend him, but that individual and household is active in another faith community and supports it. They're doing this above because they accept and acknowledge our ministry here at Our Savior, and it's not of the same denomination. We appreciate this family very much. Many things in your bulletin. One of the things to bring to your attention, our class of Monday night dealing with just a closer walk with thee, talking about getting closer with God in our personal spiritual journeys. Then on Tuesday, church council, 7 o'clock. Really, we want all council members, those in Florida can stay there until they come back. But for the rest of us in town, and weather is going to be good, so there's no weather excuse, please join us. Wednesday, we worship at 1 and 7 o'clock. Please note that, because we've done it this way for over my 27 years. So it's not new. It is the pattern. We also receive our offering for Lent this time in the envelope. If you make it, either on Wednesdays, yellow in your box, or pew edition, whatever you use, it's going to go to the shared ministry of the downtown churches for construction of a new mid-city nutrition building, which they're hoping, Alice said at our Lenten luncheon this last Thursday, to break ground at the end of spring. So our support from the faith community is extremely important for that endeavor, not just government grants and that, but for the faith community. That really launched, if you know anything about the 30 plus years history of the soup kitchen, it was started by Christians in this community. It just blossomed so much and the need was so great, we had to seek secular support. But its heart and spirit is from Christians, ecumenical Christians. So that's Wednesday, two worship services. Thursday, Our Savior sponsors the Lenten Luncheon at St. John United Church of Christ, our sister church. And I will be the speaker. The people of Our Savior are serving the meal. So please come aboard. If you'd like to make a contribution of food, we're not collecting money for that. Talk to Tony and Judy, they're coordinating it. They're in charge. They're the gurus. Talk to them, okay? Delegate it out. Trying to think, anything else? That's basically it. You have an Easter Lily order sheet in your bulletin, just highlight it for you. Charge is $11.50. If you're new to us, you put the cash with it, envelope, so it's attached. Because if you just turn this in without payment, it's a heck of a job to try to track it down if it was paid or not paid. We have learned, we've gotten smarter with time, that if you don't do that, you have a nightmare. So you accuse, and you don't know, and it's blank. So please return that with your payment. I'm not trying to be legalistic, just trying to make it work. Okay. Many other things. Please join us, support the ministry. Please rise as we sing our offertory this day. Change my heart, O God. We sing it one time. Anything, we're just jumping. We speak the blessing, not the Lord's Prayer, not a post-offering prayer. We go to the blessing. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Holy God speaking, spoken, and inspiring. Bless you, unbind you, and send you in love and in peace. Here comes the sending hymn, all four verses, if you but trust in God to guide you.
Go in peace, let your light shine. Thanks be to God.
Service of Our Savior Lutheran Church begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.